Amen. Appreciate the song tonight, Brother Seth. Thank God for the privilege that we have to pray. And we're getting ready to have the 24, thank you. We're getting ready to have the 24 hours of prayer. We've been preaching for a number of weeks on God's answer to prayer. What I thought would be a 3 or maybe a 4 sermon series has been, I don't know. I mean, it's double digit number of weeks, and we just can't get away from the privilege we have of prayer. That being said, tonight we want to look in the book of 1 John, chapter number 5. I want to preach on this thought, the promise of prayer. The promise of prayer. In 1 John, chapter number 5. I'll wait till you find it, and I'll ask if you would please stand to your feet. I want to read 2 verses tonight concerning the promise of prayer. Thank God we have promises all over the Word of God. Amen. And thank God that when we pray, there are promises. He said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm glad we have a God who hears and a God who answers our prayers. But I come around a lot of people and they'll say, well, that's Old Testament. Jeremiah's Old Testament. I need something new. Well, how about 1 John chapter 5? Look in verse number 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Father, would you help us tonight then to preach the word? Father, would you open up this text to us? God, would you give us even a deeper meaning than just the scratching the surface with it? Lord, I pray that you'll just open the text by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us, God, to dwell upon it. Help us to muse upon it. Help us, God, to meditate upon it. Help us, God, I pray that we'll just be like an old cow and just digest it and regurgitate and get it again and again. And just help us, Lord, tonight, the Word of God saturated for us. Help us, Lord, to preach in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And for this I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I do thank you for standing tonight. You may be seated. I believe that prayer is one of, if not the, most important part of our spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe that tonight as I walked into the sanctuary, I've been conscious tonight because I was thinking about it. As I walked into the sanctuary, I was breathing. And when I came across to say hello to a few folks across the back aisleway there, I was still breathing. And while you all were singing, I was still breathing. Amen. What breathing is to our physical life, prayer is to our spiritual life. How is your breathing, spiritually speaking? Are you praying as you need to? It seems like we have a lot of earthly concerns. It seems like we have a lot of earthly pressures and those things that they encroach on our prayer time. Am I alone in that? We talk a lot about prayer, but the enemy finds a way to pull those hours and those moments of prayer away from us. It seems like sometimes that when we pray, we're never really quite sure how to go about the matter. Sometimes we think, well, this is too big, and sometimes we think this is too small. It's just our flesh and the enemy tries to convince us of that. But I believe that prayer is the key to everything that God's going to do for us. And John, in this text, emphasizes to us the power and the promise of prayer. Dr. R.A. Torrey made this statement. He said that prayer is like if I could get my keys out, prayer is like a key that you might use to open God's storehouse of grace and God's storehouse of power. I'd like to have brought a great big key in here to show to everybody, but you know what? We can use that prayer as a key to be able to open and unlock the storehouse of grace and mercy to us. Now, all that God is and all that God has is at my disposal tonight through prayer. And if we would use that key of prayer, we're going to see what God can do. And I believe that God can do anything. And since God can do anything, I believe that my prayer life can accomplish anything through the power of God. Number one, I want us to think about this promise of prayer that, who's it for? Number one, it's for the converted by his pardon. Now look at the text again. This is the confidence that we have in him. That we, who is the we in this? It's those that are converted by his pardon. It's those that are saved. It's those that are redeemed. Tonight, are you saved? Then this promise is for you. Now, for you that are saved, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. But if I'd get right with God, if I'd love my brother, if I'd fellowship with the Father, God says that there's promises of prayer that are open to me. Who is the we? Look in verse 1. Verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Amen. Look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Who's this for? On those who believe on the name of the Son of God. There is a time for us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God he saved me tonight. And we're, look with me, that word is confidence. We're not confident because of our prayer. We are confident because we're his children.
Amen.
Think with me. When you pray, you're not praying as a citizen to the president. You're not praying as an Old Testament slave to his master. You're praying as a child of God to the Father. And he encourages you to pray. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to see you bow before his authority and call upon his name. The disciples, they did not say, Lord, teach us how to preach. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Okay? So this promise is for those that are converted. Number two, it is for those who have confidence to pray. Now look with me at the text again. This is the confidence that we have in him. What is this confidence to pray? The word confidence in the Greek is parousia. What does that mean? It is a positive assurance in the Lord. It is an encouragement to keep praying. There's a prefix in that word, parousia. The prefix is the word pos. When you fuse Greek words together, the last letter often changes to reflect the verb that comes behind it. So now we have the word pos is now par. And that word means all. Rousia means speaking. It is all speaking. This is what happens. When God has you to come and pray and seek his face, he wants you to speak your whole heart. He wants you to share, listen to this. He wants you to share with him your doubts, your concerns, your fears, your disappointments, your discouragements, the objects that you have to pray about. God wants you to speak everything. Though he already knows what's in your heart, he wants you to tell him everything, all your requests, because he wants to give you confidence to call upon his holy name. God wants you to let everything flow out of your heart.
Amen.
Have you ever been around someone that you thought was an authority and you were intimidated?
Right.
Tonight, if you and I were invited to the White House, don't get your hopes up, but if you and I were invited to the White House and we were to go in to speak with the president, the truth is, you would probably be intimidated.
Amen.
There'd be all kinds of security. There would be all kinds of people standing guard there, and you would be intimidated by the place you've just walked into, by the person you stand before. You may say, no, bless God, I wouldn't. I'm going to tell him a thing or two. Listen, how much greater is our God than the president? Can you imagine the security that's around our God? The angels are flying, crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And yet the God of all glory invites me into his throne room and says, "I am delighted to hear your request. I am delighted to help you with your fears. I am delighted. I encourage you when you come in, don't be intimidated. Come in with confidence. Parousia. Come in and tell me your whole heart. Speak to me what's on your mind. Speak to me tonight." God is not concerned about how eloquently you speak. Oh no. He's concerned about how confidently you pray. When you pray, do you pray confidently? When you come before the Lord, are you confident in your approach? Are you confident in your assurance? Are you confident in your audience? Are you confident in the accident and the access? Are you confident in his answer? Are we confident that God is hearing our prayers? God wants to answer you. Sometimes we have the idea that we have to take God's arm and twist his arm up behind his back. No, no, no. Prayer is not twisting God's arm. Prayer is twisting my will to meet God's will for my life. I'm the one that needs to be twisted. I'm the one that needs to surrender. God tells us to come in confidently. Now the word parousia, it's used many times in the New Testament. You're going to see a time where the Bible says that they spake openly. You're going to see a time where Jesus said unto them plainly. It's to speak openly. It's to speak plainly to the Lord. You just tell him. It means Hebrews 4:16, the words boldly. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." That word boldly is the same word confident in the Greek. It is the word parousia. Let me show you a few more places in 1 John. Look over at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 28. 1 John 2, 28. I went to pray with someone as you're turning, and I was wondering and concerned about their salvation. And as I went to their hospital bedside and was ministering and testifying to them and said, "Can I pray for you?" And I stopped and said, "Before I pray, can I ask you, are you saved?" And they said, "Oh yes, Pastor, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But I'll tell you what I am, Pastor, I'm ashamed." "You're saved but ashamed?" "Oh yes, I'm saved but I've not lived it. I'm saved but I'm not living as I should. And here I lay flat on my back. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd stand ashamed when I met him." Oh my. Tonight, if the Lord was to come by your place and you and he were to meet, would you be ashamed when you met him? Read 1 John 2:28. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence," parousia, "and not be ashamed before him at his coming." I promise you, when you go to pray tonight, and when you go to pray in this 24 hours of prayer we're about to have, you're coming before the throne of a most high God. And though we come in as sinners, saved by the grace of God, we're coming in as his children. And he wants us to come in boldly and confidently, to speak openly and plainly. When I go to my mama and my daddy's house, I often just walk right on in. And I just take a seat. And there's the telephone if I want to make a call. And there's coffee if I want to get something to drink. And there's water if I want something else to drink. And there's food. I don't even have to ask them. They just welcome me right into their house. And God the Father wants you to welcome you into his presence tonight. We find again in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 17. The Bible says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have," there's the word boldness, it's the word parousia, "that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Now, when you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, will you be able to stand before him boldly, confidently? Or will you bow your head in shame, though you're saved? when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, will you be afraid? Will you be ashamed? I mean, in the last 2 weeks at the school, we've had inspectors come in. And every time inspectors come in, I see staff and students scurrying. There's inspectors here. Oh, my, we better straighten up. Let me tell you something, honey. God walks through the halls of that school every single day. And God walks through the corridors of our souls every single day. And do we have boldness when he comes in? I told our folk, I said, don't be afraid. They're inspectors. It's their job. They have a job to do. Don't be afraid. I believe in what we do. We're good at keeping records. We're good at what we do. And I'm not ashamed at them coming in and viewing our facility. And we got some of the highest grades around. And I say, thank God that we, when we appear before God, we don't have to be ashamed. We can appear confidently. And we read to you in 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him. There's a position. Now there's a privilege. Look with me. This confidence, hear me. Hear me. This is important. This confidence is not in my ability to pray. This confidence is not in my position as his child. This confidence is in him. It's in him. Now this was what was really strange. As I've got my Greek New Testament, I've got all kinds of stuff outlined, and I'm digging. I'm pulling up the blue letter Bible, and the word in our English word, it's a preposition, in. In Greek, most of the time, it is the letters en, epsilon, nu, en, but not here. It's the word para. Oh, which is interesting, para. You know what it means? Face to face. Face to face. Now that being said, this is the confidence that we have face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word we talked last week about the word prayer, prosukamea, it starts with that prefix, para. It is to pray here, but to be transported before the throne of a Most High God. It's to bow your head here, but to bow your head before the throne of the Most High God. It's to shed your tears and your burden and the thing that concerns you that you're broken about. And as you shed your tears here, you're before the throne in heaven, and he's there collecting your tears and caressing and comforting you. And oh my, prosukamea, it's our confidence that we have in him that we're face to face with him. My. You're not coming before the Supreme Court. They're too low. Preacher, they're the highest court in the land, in our land. But there's a land that outranks our land, and it's called the heavenly country. I'm a citizen there, are you? So for me, think about it. Sometimes I may walk up to my wife and get real close to her and whisper a secret in her ears. You ever done that? With someone you're close to, your spouse. Hey man, you know you can go before the throne of God and whisper a secret. Some fear, some desire, some concern, some want, some need that you have. And it's safe with him. Are you close enough to pray and whisper the secret in the ears of Almighty God? But why? Because when you pray, God listens. Seth was leading that song tonight, page number 341. And that song is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, written by Joseph Scriven. And he says, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Everything. What a privilege it is to go before God and seek his face in prayer. Again, if I called my president, do you think he'd take the time to listen to me? If I wrote my president a letter, do you think he'd take the time to read what I wrote? But when I bow on my knees here, behind this pulpit or in this altar, my God hears me instantly. And he desires to hear what I have to say. And now I want you to know that then my confidence is in him. We're to pray. And when we pray, we're to pray in faith. But my confidence is not in my faith. My confidence
is in him. It's in our Father. Sometimes, will you hear me? Sometimes we spend so much concentration on our asking. We were concentrated on the request, on the names, and we concentrate. I'm going to ask you to change your thought process there. Would you concentrate on who you're asking? Think about who you're asking. Think about who he is. Think about his ability. Think about his power. Woo! Think about his lofty authority and his lofty position. When you start concentrating on who, amen, it'll start changing the way you're asking what and who you're praying for. Now, I see in this then the person, it's in him. You remember Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." You understand that when we pray, he does feel what we're going through. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, my. You know, what does a priest do? But a priest, he stands before God to intercede. That's what he does. And as you and I, if we're praying for somebody else and we're making intercession for somebody else, at the same time, Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us as we pray. He is standing before God the Father in our place. Man, that encourages me. I must move on. Thirdly, we must be committed to his plan. Let's look at verse 14 again. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that's huge, according to his will, we must be committed to his plan. According to his will, he heareth us. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except for what lies outside the will of God. We must ask and pray according to the will of God. The word ask, it is the word aito. It means to continually, habitually ask. It's to pray. Sometimes it's translated to plead or crave. Sometimes it's translated to beg. Have you ever begged God? Have you ever been under such a burden when you pray that you are just craving God's answer in your life? I'm telling you, church, I have a craving for the blessings and the things of God. I have a craving that God would manifest himself and his glory and we might see his hinder parts as he passes by. I have a craving. Now look with me. If we ask, the word is anything. In the Greek, that's three letters, T-I-S, T-I-S. It means without limit. I can ask him anything. There's nothing too small or minuscule. There's nothing too large or overbearing that we cannot ask God. We can ask him anything. But when we do, it must be according to his will. The word according is a Greek word. It is the word kata, K-A-T-A. According. This is what it means. You look at my hand. Let's say this is a foundation, that this is the base, that everything you pray, this is the base, this is the foundation, this is the criteria of every prayer you send to God. It must go through this base. And what is the base? The will of God. The foundation is the will of God. What is the criteria? The will of God. Everything you pray, Lord, if it be your will, you need to pray and ask God in accordance to his will. Amen. What is that word, his will? Thelema, T-H-E-L-E-M-A. What is that? The will of God. It's God's best for you. Amen. It's God's best for you that brings him glory. Yeah. Sometimes it may be suffering. Yeah. Sometimes it may be hardship. Right. Sometimes it may be trial. Sure. Sometimes it may be trouble. Sometime it may be great blessing. Sometime it may be a mountaintop. And sometime it may be a valley low. But the will of God is what we must pray in. Oh, yes. The Bible says if we pray according to his will, he heareth us.
Amen.
The word is akouo. We get our word acoustics, sound. What does it mean? God is actively engaged in listening. You ever been somewhere and people was all over and they called on somebody to pray, but everybody was praying out loud. And there was so much speaking out loud that you couldn't even concentrate on what you needed to do. You ever been there? You couldn't even concentrate to ask. I've been there, right? But God is able to hear every individual prayer request, and he hears the cry of my heart. There are times that I pray and I don't pray it out loud. Preacher, why don't you pray it out loud? Because the devil might hear it. I'm not wanting to tell my secrets to the devil. When I pray out loud, he could have some imp stationed somewhere and hear what I'm praying. Preacher, I just know, oh yeah. And then he'll take that and attack you with it. I'm telling you, there's times I just pray. I call it praying to myself, but I'm praying within myself, but I'm praying to God. Oh my. When we pray, we must pursue his will. Prayer is not me getting my will done in heaven, but it's getting God's will done on earth.
Amen.
It's getting God's will done in my life. Jesus said in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus said in the garden, not my will, but thy will be done. The will of God will not limit your prayers. You think it will. Well, Preacher Darren, the will of God, that's going to limit me. No, honey, it don't. It doesn't. The will of God doesn't limit your prayers. The will of God will lift your prayers. It'll bless you. So we need to pursue his will. We need to perceive his will. Preacher, here's the problem. And I feel as I'm preaching, I feel like some of you are going, oh, the will of God, that's where I struggle. I want to pray, Preacher Darren. I want to pray. I love that asking anything. And I love that being without limit. I love that. But my problem is when he said that according to, that baseline, that's where I struggle. Can I get a witness? How do I know? How do I pray according to the will of God? Ooh, I'm glad you asked. Let's go over to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. And I want to look at chapter number 1. The book of Colossians, chapter number 1. Verse number 9. Colossians 1:9. I hope they can put this on the screen. Thank you. Look what the Bible says. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Paul is praying for the church at Colossae, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So here is our problem. When we talk about the will of God, we struggle because we don't have knowledge and wisdom concerning the will of God.
Amen.
And according to the text, we need to be praying that God would give us knowledge and wisdom and spiritual understanding concerning the will of God in my life and yours. The Bible says, "Is any of you lack wisdom? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not." When was the last time you just prayed for Aunt Bessie and Uncle Norman and cousin so-and-so, you know, cousin Ed or whatever you want to call, you know, listen, when's the last time you just said, God, would you give me wisdom? When's the last time you said, God, would you take the preacher and Lord, would you fill the preacher with wisdom concerning your will for his life and for his family? When was the last time? That's not on our prayer list. That's not something that even enters our mind to pray that we'd have wisdom and understanding of the will of God. Did you know God has a specific will concerning every single one of you? He does not have wills, plural. He has a will for my life and for your life. Well, there's a problem, preacher. I've already blowed that. You think you can blow the will of God? Oh, you can miss the will of God, but I promise you, He'll work overtime to put you back in it. How does this happen? By the external witness of the Scripture and the internal witness of the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have an understanding of the will of God. We must perform His will. The Bible says in John 7:17, if any man will do His will, he shall know of His doctrine. Obedience brings revelation. Now this one I'm going to tell you. Preacher Darren, I don't have a lot of revelation about understanding and the will of God for my life. Well, it might have got cut off at obedience. Because when you quit being obedient, God quits revealing to you His will. You want to know the will of God? Get obedient. You want to know the will of God? When God says, stand up, testify, do it. Trust Him. When God, you want revelation? When God says, call so-and-so, send him a text right now, be obedient. And watch what God will do with it. Well, I've got to move off this thought. But I just think some of you, you think that the will of God is this wide open cafeteria line and you can just pick and choose what you want and then you're going to stand up and say, I know this is the will of God. Honey, the will of God is not determined on what you want at the Janass cafeteria line. That's not what it is. Okay? We need to have spiritual understanding as we seek the face of God. You must commit to His plan. All right, last of all, go back to my text. Back in the book of 1 John, I've moved away from that chapter. 1 John chapter 5, last of all. We've read verse 14 and we've discussed it. Now let's look at verse 15 and I've got one point and I'm done. The Bible says in verse 15, if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Fourthly, we are comforted by His promise. Comforted by His promise. Now, this is a beautiful verse. It's very powerful. You are praying according to the will of God. And as you pray, God will hear you. When He hears us, He gives us answers, right? We've discussed. There are times that God gives us a definite yes. Absolutely. Has God ever said yes to you? Have you ever, I was praying just the other day, and just as sure as I was praying, I knew God heard me. And He answered, listen, He answered me. My phone started ringing with the answer before I ever got off my knees, before I ever said amen to while I was praying. And when the phone rang, I went, ugh, the phone's ringing. I went, wait a minute, that may be the very answer I'm looking for right now. That would have been foolish for me to have said, I'm not going to answer that phone, I'm praying right now. When God was sending the answer. That would be like them praying for Simon Peter to be released, right? And God had already released him, and he's knocking on the door, and they said, who is it? It's Simon Peter. Oh no, we're praying for him, he's in jail. And God had already answered. So I got up, answered the phone, sure enough, just what God had sent me for His answer. So God gives you a definite yes. Abraham's servant, he was praying, God, will you show me which one of these girls is for my servant? Which one is for my servant's son? And before he said amen, God sent her out. Sometimes the answer is delayed. We know that Lazarus was sick. Jesus waited 4 days before he came and healed him. Sometimes there's a denial. David wanted to build the house of God. God said, no, not you. Sometime and all the time, His response is different than we think. What we pray for, He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. It's always going to be better than what you and I would have ever thought or asked for. But regardless of His response, God hears us. Now look with me. God will heed us. Now, I have this unshakable conviction that when I pray according to God's will, when I pray, when I'm in fellowship with my brothers and sisters and with my wife and with my family, when I'm obedient to what God says do, I have an unshakable conviction that when I pray, God hears me. God's not going to do what I say, but God's going to grant what I'm requesting. According to this verse, the Bible says, and if we know. Now, the word in the Greek is usually the word gnosko. It's not this time. It's the word eido, E-I-D-O. What that means is it is wisdom and knowledge implanted by the Holy Spirit. It's not the wisdom of man. It's not what you got from the university. It's not what you got from the academy. It's not what you got from the institution. It's not what you got from the experience of life. This is God-given, implanted wisdom and knowledge. Read it again, knowing that this is implanted by God. If we know, if the Holy Spirit has implanted it, you've got it and you're not going to lose it. If we know that He hears us and He's tuned in, and I pray contingent on the will of God, whatsoever we ask, boy, we have. Whoa, my. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have. We have the word echo. This is what it means. It's already given to us, though it may not even be in my hands yet. You ever heard somebody say the check's in the mail? Well, God's a whole lot better than the U.S. mail. The U.S. mail gets lost and gets delayed every day. Fact check that. Amen? I'm just trying to give you the truth. Now, I want to tell you something. There are times that God gives you handfuls of plenty before the handfuls ever fall. Boaz said to the reapers, let fall for her handfuls of plenty. She hadn't even got out to the field yet, and it was just as good as she already had it in her hand. And when God hears your prayer and He grants your petition, it may be 3 weeks in coming, but you can go ahead and know He heard me. It's on its way. I can shout and rejoice for 3 weeks because I know what God's done for me. You just have to believe Him. You just have to trust Him. Now, what does He say? What do we have? We have the petitions. The petitions. Atama. What does that mean? What are you praying about? The things you're seeking Him for. The petitions that we desired of Him. Paraatos. Not only will you have the things that you've asked for, but you'll also have Him. And I'll be honest, He outweighs the things I pray for. I'd rather have Him as anything I know. So this is what I think we're trying to say. God has given you a blank check. It's written to you. Darren Waldrop. You fill in the amount. You fill in what you want. If you pray according to my will, I'm going to bless it according to my riches. Well, if you ask me tonight for any money, my pockets are empty. I can't do a whole lot for you. But if I ask according to His pockets, they're pretty deep. They're pretty wealthy. They're pretty rich. He said, I'm going to do it. I ask according to His will. He blesses me according to His riches. It's signed by Jesus. You have a blank check signed by Jesus if you'll pray. Can I read Psalm 81? I'm going to give you Old Testament and New Testament. I'm done. Psalm 81. Psalm 81, verse number 10. Old Testament and New Testament. Psalm 81, verse number 10. Look what this says. I love this text. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
I am the Lord thy God, amen, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Oh, preacher, He didn't bring me out of the land of Egypt. You said you're saved. He brought you out of the world. He saved you. He says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Think about little old Holland. I've seen him sitting over there feeding her. She's little old young and sitting at the table, and they'd get a spoonful for her. She'd open her mouth, and they'd just feel it. Amen. Just open their mouth. You're his child. Just open your mouth. He's got a spoonful for you. He's got a shovelful for you. He's got a handful of plenty just for you. Open your mouth and he will fill it. Hey man, I also believe this. I also believe when we're praying, I believe if we'd open our mouth to speak words and pray according to his will, he'll fill it. He'll bless us with what we're asking for. He will do it. Amen. Isn't God good? Can I say it in a country way? Ain't God good? To give us so many blessings, undeserving, that's what we are. Now that's Old Testament text, but I like the New Testament one here in the book of James. Book of James, you probably know what I'm going to say. The book of James, chapter number 4, end of the verse. James chapter 4, verse number 2. Hopefully this is underlined in your Bible. You have not because you ask not.
Amen.
There's a problem right there for us. We are, oh, Lord, I don't have this. And Lord, I don't have that. I don't know what I'm going to do. Here's the problem. You have not because you ask not.
Amen.
Open your mouth wide. He will fill it. Ask him. I think about George Mueller, a great man of God, had a big orphanage. I know he had a lot of mouths to feed. And one day they're completely out of milk. And the man of God got down praying. And about while he was praying, there came a knock at the door and said, it was a milk truck. He said, my engine's broke down. And I've got all this cold milk on that truck. And it's all going to be spilled and all going to be poured out. We're going to lose the whole truck. Is there any way y'all could take this milk off my hands before it went? He was just asking God for milk. And God stopped a whole truck full at the orphanage. He says, oh, yes. And fed all them youngins fresh milk. Another time they was out of food and the bread truck broke down. Oh, listen, not just the bread truck. They had bagels on it. Hey, man, had all kinds of pastries on there for them youngins. One time George Mueller, he was going to preach in Quebec and he was on a ship and they were in a dense, dangerous fog. And he went down to the captain and he said, Captain, I must make Quebec because I'm on my way to preach. By such and such time. And the captain said, you can see how slow we're going. We can hardly even move in this dense and dangerous fog. And George Mueller said, let's go downstairs and pray about it. He said, pray about it? I'm telling you, this is an impossibility. He said, come with me, sir. And the captain followed the preacher down the steps, down below. And the man of God fell on his knees and commenced to pray. While the captain just stood there, took his hat off out of respect. And after a little while, George Mueller jumped back up and he said, I believe God's done it. He said, done what? What has God done? What we've been asking him to do. Well, I didn't ask him to do nothing. He said, well, I did. I asked him to take away this fog. I helped him to help us go faster. I've got to make Quebec. There's people depending on me preaching the word tonight. And when they walked back up to the bridge, the fog had disappeared. I'll give you one more, and it's obscure. There was a missionary in Africa. He was a medical missionary, and he was constantly helping people with medical, physical problems. And one man came in with a broken thigh from the hip bone, and the doctor was having trouble what to do to set, how to do surgery, how to help this man. And while he said, God, would you give me wisdom? Would you give me knowledge? Show me what I must do to help this gentleman. At about that time, a bunch of beggars came. And the beggars were asking for food and for handouts and for supplies and provisions. And it looks like the beggars are more in his way, hindering him from going forward with the surgery. But he gave to them. He gave them food and what supplies that he had. But one of those beggars just kind of lingered. And as he did, he noticed how frail and skinny that he was. And he looked at him and said, you know, you have not because you ask not. And I'm asking God to show me how to fix this young man's leg that's broken from his thigh and his hip. And God has given me a man that's a sheer skeleton that I could look at him. He said, sir, could I examine you a little closer and see how God puts your leg and your hip bone together? He didn't have the ability to take an x-ray, so God just gave him a living x-ray for him to examine. And he turned around and was able to complete setting and doing surgery on that man's leg that he might relieve him. You see, sometimes God answers in mysterious ways. And he did a double there. He sent this gentleman bread while at the same time he fixed this man's leg. That's our God. I'm telling you, according to 1 John chapter 5, I know it's been a poor message, but 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, there are promises when we pray. And if you and I, will you hear me? If you and I would really believe that the God of glory hears us when we pray, we would have so much more confidence and assurance, and we'd pray more than we've ever prayed. And if we'd pray when we worry, every time you worry, if you'd stop, the antidote for worry is praying.
Amen.
It's the book of Philippians.
Yeah.
And if you'd pray every time you worry, the devil wouldn't worry you so much because you'd pray more. And as you pray more, the devil said, that ain't working. I got to, right? You stand to your feet. Seth, I feel like tonight I need to give an invitation. If you'd come to the piano, son, there might be somebody here. Maybe you just need to pray. Maybe she'll say, Lord, you've opened my eyes to some things that's out there for me to pray about. There's promises, and Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, I'd like to claim them, but I need to have some wisdom. I need to have some knowledge about the will of God. And God, show me how to pray, what to pray. Help me to pray for our church. Help me to pray for our family. God, would you grant to my wife wisdom and spiritual knowledge? God, maybe there's a wife here to say, God, would you grant to my husband? Would you grant to my husband wisdom and knowledge and spiritual understanding? Father, tonight, I see how Paul prayed for the church at Colossae. And Lord, I see how John has emphasized prayer in the epistle of 1 John. And this after he had spoke about love, 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 fellowship, fellowship, fellowship. And then he starts talking about prayer and promises. And God, it encourages me to pray. Lord, I want to thank you tonight for saving me. And I want to thank you for a roof over my head. And I want to thank you for clothes on my back. And God, I thank you, Father, that you bless us with a precious family, a wonderful mother and dad, a precious wife and precious children. God, I thank you for all those things. Well, Lord, I have a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray, God, you give us wisdom about how to walk with you and how to serve you. And Lord, how to be pleasing to you. And Lord, as we get ready to enter into this time of prayer, God, we want our sin confessed. I don't want anything to hinder our prayers from being heard. And God, we want to pray according to your will. And God, we dedicate this time, God, that we might learn and know how to please you amidst the crooked and perverse generation in which we walk. God, would you help us? Lord, there's healing that's needed for many people. God, there's sickness about me. Most importantly, there's sin sickness on every hand. Oh, God, would you save before it's ever lasted too late? God, I pray that you would be exalted, that you would be lifted up, that your will would be accomplished in our lives. Help us, God, I pray, to exalt and lift up the name of Jesus. And for this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.